Ladies and gents, girls and boys, it's good to be back with you. We're at the 50-yard line. I was texting a good friend of ours last night, a good friend of the station's, Jason Rowe. I want to have a discussion about what I'm seeing at night. Maybe you are too. If you stream television or shows, as we often do, you're inundated now with these ads. This is the political warfare season as the more localized and state elections get underway. And as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking some of these ads are so vague. And there's massive overtures against some of the candidates, not necessarily created by them. So, for example, Tom Barrett, who I like quite a bit as a human being, I've had him on the air several times. Jason Rowe, our good buddy, is a strategist that has worked with Tom for quite some time. I'm thinking to myself, if that ad is false, if it's just blatantly misleading, what levers do they have to pull to ask them to stop? Or do they mount their own campaign to say, this is BS, this is not really how it went down, that kind of thing? And this goes across the board. So Jason Rowe, principal of Rowe Strategic, joins the program. Jay, thanks for coming on, pal.
Hey, my friend. Great to be with you again.
Likewise, if you're like me and you watch some of these, programming, and you see an ad pop up, and you just roll your eyes and go, "That's not even kind of true." I mean, do you call your guy or gal in the race and say, "Hey, you need to respond to this ASAP"? How does that work?
Well, first, I want to say how glad I am that you're getting those ads, because you live about 30 miles from the 7th District, which means these morons that are running the ads aren't even targeting voters in the 7th. So I don't want them to stop. Hopefully they're not listening. But there's not a lot of leverage that a candidate has to respond or to get false claims pulled from the air. On broadcast television, you can get it done. It usually takes getting your campaign attorney to write a letter to the station manager and documenting why the allegations are false. And I would say maybe 20-25% of the time, that is successful. It really depends on that station manager's willingness, ethics, mm-hmm. nonpartisanship, et cetera, to make that kind of subjective decision. And when it comes to the candidates running those kinds of ads, the bar is even higher. But there's not much of a mechanism when you're looking at subscription services like YouTube, Hulu, et cetera, because those ads are not subject to the same FEC regulatory structure as broadcast television ads. And, for your listeners, when I say broadcast television, that's the four networks. That's the mm-hmm. broadest reach and the most expensive advertising and regulated by the FEC. So ads like what you're getting are targeted to you as an individual. So they have somewhere in their data a profile that includes you as a possibly persuadable voter on this messaging. And that's why you're getting that messaging. But yeah, when it comes to those services, it's kind of whack-a-mole. You would have to go to, YouTube itself and try to, I know how hard it is just to get someone on the phone regarding my subscription. Yeah, right. I can't imagine what it would be like to try to get them to consider pulling advertising that is being paid for. That's the other thing. You're asking them to take something down that they're profiting off of.
And some of these PAC foundations are very, very activist oriented, and they're not necessarily overly concerned about fact checking and the truth. If it's vague enough, for example, and it moves a specific group, they run it. In terms of, we'll use Tom Barrett because he's one of your guys as an example. I've seen two that have been inundated with me recently. One is that he and Trump, and of course they have to throw Trump in there because they want to attach him to Trump at the hip in every possible way to get every, even, in the middle Trump voter to dislike Tom Barrett. But they basically shut all of the Planned Parenthoods down, and Planned Parenthoods in Michigan are integral to healthcare. The second, of course, is that he voted 100% of the time with Trump, which is not only kind of misleading. Tom has been very, very good at saying, "I represent the people of Michigan," and there's been plenty of times he disagreed with Trump, and Trump-loving people, MAGA people, were mad at Tom Barrett. So how do you tell him to respond? I mean, my mom always said, you catch more flies with honey than vinegar, but there's not a lot of honey in these things to begin with. How do you tell him then to shape these ads, or if the PACs come to you with an idea, what do you say?
Well, one thing is legally, we can't coordinate with those PACs. They, you know, there is a firewall that prevents any kind of coordination. That would be a violation of federal campaign finance law. So we're prohibited. In fact, you know, the kinds of ads you're seeing, I was sitting in Tom's campaign headquarters back in 2024 in a group that was running ads on our behalf. They were running five consecutive times in a row. And obviously wasting money and probably aggravating voters when they have to see the same ad over and over. So I called our campaign attorney and asked, is there any way I can notify this particular group that they're wasting money on these ads? And I am legally prohibited from even telling them that they're doing something wrong. Even if I didn't like the ads, it would be illegal for me to tell them to stop running in ads. So there's a lot of restrictions on that part of it. You know, for me, it really depends on what is a message that's persuadable for voters. I don't think an attack on Tom or any Republican about voting with Donald Trump is particularly effective. And the reason is it's already baked into the Republican brand at this point. People expect that a Republican is voting with Trump, for Trump, et cetera. So I don't know that it's a particularly persuadable message. It still, you know, requires campaigns to focus on the issues that voters actually care about. And, you know, you mentioned abortion, and that was most of the messaging for the Democrats in the last two election cycles. And Tom, I mean, I would say 50% of the spending against Tom was about abortion. And the National Republican Party wanted us to respond to those ads. And Tom and I talked several times and talked through, and here's the reality. Abortion affects 0.1% of the electorate, of the population. So there's, you know, the people that vote based on abortion are really liberal voters already. So, you know, us trying to mitigate that is dumb. We decided to ignore those attacks and to focus on inflation, because inflation affects 100% of the voters. And so it really just, you look at your polling and you figure out what are the things that people care about. And we also differentiate, because you can ask voters a question and they might give you something on what they like, but that doesn't mean it persuades them. I mean, I could ask you what color is your favorite color and you could tell me blue. And then I'd say, well, I'm going to paint your house blue. Well, you're not going to like that. So we try to focus on what are the issues that actually persuade a voter to vote a certain way, not just one that you're aligned with, you know, an opinion of some kind. And yeah. So there's a lot of nuance, obviously, to it. But we just try to focus on the things that actually voters are voting on and not just the kind of, you know, rhetoric that is as mindless as the Trump attacks.
Sure. Listen, we probably have 10 seconds to go. In that vein, then, as things progress and streaming becomes more popular in all these social media outlets, should those ads be somehow governed and fact-checked before they're allowed to go?
That would be good. And I would love if the media did real and unbiased fact-checking. Typically, they side with Democrats 90% of the time. It would be a constructive role and might actually draw some more eyeballs to their content.
All right. Love it. As always, Jason Rowe, terrific feedback. Interesting for us to learn as we watch all these ads nonstop. Okay, everybody, hang around. We're going to talk a little bit about what Starbucks is doing in the AI space versus human beings. You don't want to miss it.